Welcome, everyone. So there was a very powerful article that came out earlier this week in the New York Times. It was an article that delved into the psychology behind a lot of the current political reality that we're seeing now in Israel. The name of the article, I believe, was called The One Thing That Israelis Don't Want to Discuss. You may have seen that article. I put it on my Facebook, too. And basically, it talks about the impact of the period of the Second Intifada from the mid-1990s through the mid-2000s. That was the time, of course, of the seemingly endless suicide bombings on buses, in cafes, in restaurants, in markets, in shopping centers, that created an atmosphere of such terror in Israel that people can't even speak of it openly now as a society, and that the impact is ongoing. It essentially, according to this article, obliterated the whole sort of left-leaning trend in the Israeli government prior to that period. It led to this kind of abandonment of a serious peace process in many ways. It paved the way for a political atmosphere in Israel that puts the issue of security truly above any other value in so many ways for so many people in Israel. And it's very understandable, of course. It's a very insightful and very sobering article about the impact that fear can have when it takes a tight grip on a society, and how fear, when it becomes societal, can lead to even authoritarian and reactionary policies and governments in any society. It lays bare the psychological barriers that exist to peace right now in Israel. Highly recommend it. You know, I like to say, when speaking about Israel, that whatever happens in Israel, and this isn't just in modern times, this is since time immemorial, for thousands of years, whatever happens in the land of Israel ultimately happens everywhere in the world. It has a kind of almost supernatural prophetic quality to it. Well, we think it's not almost. It is prophetic and supernatural. So the message that Israel, I believe, is teaching us in the whole world right now is that if we really do want a real hope for peace and healing in this world, we have to be willing to face our collective traumas, our collective scars, and to be willing to deal with it if we're ever going to move forward as a society. You know, this week's parsha begins with some powerful words. It says, "Ki teitzei lemilchama aloyvecha," when you go out to war against your enemies, "Unitano Adonai Elohecha biyadecha," God will deliver them into your hands, v'shavita et shivyo, and you will bring back captives. So even implicit in those opening words, there's the sense, yes, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, will always have enemies who will attack us. But there's a promise there that God will deliver our enemies into our hands, ultimately. And of course, that is the mindset now in Israel, and it has been, really, since its inception, that there is a sense of war. And it's only been made worse by the Second Intifada. There's this fear and this sense that we're hoping and praying that God will deliver our enemies into our hands. That's true. But I want to take us in a different direction with that teaching this morning, to a very radical rereading of those opening lines of the Parsha that come from the rabbinic tradition. The Ketav Sofer writes those opening words, "Ki teitzei lemilchama aloyvecha," when you go to war with your enemy. He says it's not just talking about the enemy out there. Ki teitzei lemilchama, when you go out to war on your enemy, you'd also have to turn that war inward to a psychological struggle with your yetzer hara. What is the yetzer hara? It's what we call the evil inclination. It is the part of our humanity that we teach in Judaism, that we all have an inclination for goodness and an inclination for evil. But that part of our humanity that is the evil inclination is really the part of us that is the source of our passions and our lusts and our angers and our desires. It's also the source of the part of ourselves that can turn to hatred and to mistrust. So the Kitab Sofer teaches us, when you go to war, not just with the enemies out there, but also simultaneously with the enemy within, with that propensity to hate and to mistrust, that is how our enemies will be delivered into our hands. It's a two-prong war. And the Chafetz Chaim added another beautiful to that last part of the opening sentence. V'shavita et shivyo, and you shall take captives. What does that mean? When enemies attack us, there is so much that gets lost, but we lose not only life, but we lose our trust, we lose our faith in God, we lose our faith in the world. When you go to that battle against your own propensity to hate, you can gain back your life. You can gain back your world. That's a really powerful spiritual teaching, and I want us to sit with that for a moment. We Jewish people are no strangers to being attacked through many, many centuries. And the real battle is the battle in our own hearts. It's the battle against our own tendency to turn to bitterness and to contempt. Because when we close our hearts in that way, we close our hearts to the potential and the possibility of really making peace. In other words, any society that as a whole gives into fear, puts security above any other value, then the battle is already lost. And it's not just, I'm not just talking about Israel now, I'm talking about any society. I'm talking about our society as well. Think about our polarized society. In our political reality, even in this country where we see the other political party as demons, inherently morally evil. Do that, the battle's already lost. The hope for peace is gone. Boy. So where does that leave us? Is there any hope? What do we do? Look what's happening in Israel. Look what's happening in this country. What do we do? Is there any hope at all? You know what? I actually believe that there is incredible hope. I believe there's actually infinite hope. And we can see that in one other line. I want to conclude with this one other line that comes in the Parsha. It says, Lo titaev mitzri ki ger hayita ba'artzo. Lo titaev means don't abhor. What is mitzri? The Egyptian. Don't abhor the Egyptian. Ki ger hayita ba'artzo. What does that mean? For you are a stranger in his land. Don't abhor the Egyptian, for you were a stranger in his land. Rashi, the great medieval commentator, explains, it was the Egyptians, don't forget Israelites, they welcomed us during the time of Joseph when we were dying of famine, and they gave us life. They gave us a place where we could survive. And we owe them an eternal debt of gratitude. Now you can hear that line and say, what gives? No, we don't. These were the same Egyptians who then had, there was a new pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Remember the story? And then we were enslaved for 400 years. We were abused. We were oppressed. They raped us. They robbed us of our lives. They murdered our children. You would think we can write them off as evil forever. No, says the Torah. Lo titaev mitzri. You must not abhor the Egyptian, for you were a stranger in his land. Rav Eliyahu Dressler explains, no matter what, we must constantly struggle toward hakarat hatov. What is hakarat hatov? Recognizing the good. Struggle to find it, even in the people who are our enemy. This comes out of Judaism, folks. That gratitude, that potential for good, in the battle that we're fighting, out there against our real enemies, always leave space to seek out that potential for good in the other. I can't think of a more important message for our time that we live in than this message. It doesn't matter who we're demonizing, if we're demonizing Palestinians or if we're demonizing the other political party. Whether they attack us, whether they are trying to undermine all that we hold dear, we must struggle to recognize the good. Now, I just want to make this very clear. This is not a turn the other cheek sermon. We're Jewish here. This is not what I'm saying. When we have to go to war and we've been attacked, we've got to go to war. There's no way around that. That's a tragic reality of our human condition. We have to fight them. We have to fight against terrorists. We have to fight against leaders who engage in criminal activity, who need to be brought to justice. We must fight against those things. We're morally bound to do these things. But even as we do that, we must struggle to find the good in the regular people, the people who are their followers, the people who've been led astray by those leaders and those role models. Nobody said that this is easy. This is the hardest thing we can ever do. You know, not one of us here is going to single-handedly heal all the problems in Israel and heal all the problems in our country and in this world. But there is an incredibly hopeful message here that we can begin the battle right in our own hearts, right in our own lives, in our own spheres of influence, in our own political engagements and whatever that may be, in our own community and communities, to fight that propensity to hate, to dismiss, to write off whole groups of people as evil. That is how we can bring the Torah to the world, through our being the models, the role models, and the teachers. Do that, and there is truly hope for peace again in this world. It begins right now, right here, with you in your own heart of hearts. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We continue with the Chatzikdash.